Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Not a great day for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, look, they're going to make the playoffs. And the teams they've lost to are the good ones, especially defensively. I know they lost to the Bears, who aren't good. But Rams, Chiefs, Saints twice. 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 60% completion, 252 yards passing per game. You have all different parts of the spectrum speaking out on Tom Brady. Some are saying, look, he's washed up. Tony Romo is making excuses. Others, Dan Orlovsky, hey, man, this offense, bad fit. Tony Romo acting like a surrogate for Tom Brady's army, pointing out the flaws within the offense. It's pretty obvious to anybody who likes, respects, and understands what's made Brady an all-time great, understands what's lacking, what's missing in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. You know, what's missing in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense? And it's not just Brady. It's not just a running game. It's not just, hey, maybe their defense is a little overrated. It's the cohesion between the two. But you know what I've noticed recently? I've noticed that it went from a marriage that probably won't produce a Super Bowl to one that is going to end in an ugly divorce. That's how quickly this thing feels like. Now, you have in the NFL what's called, in all sports, a get-right game. You're familiar with what a get-right game is? A get-right game is when you have opponents that there's no chance you're going to lose to. They have the third easiest remaining schedule in the National Football League. Now, part of that is the Atlanta Falcons, who just stomped a good team. The Raiders, or a team we thought was a good team. So they have some get-right games coming up. But Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, another loss, another home loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. In fairness, they've only lost to good teams or good defenses. The Bears aren't a good team, but they do have a very good defense. The other ones are all playoff teams and teams that you could foresee having a chance to play for a Super Bowl. So all of those things should kind of give you energy to really believe that the Buccaneers still have a chance. But when I hear Tony, so here's the difference. Do you guys remember, I want you to jog your memory a little bit. Do you guys remember when the Bears, I think, were playing the Rams on national TV on Monday Night Football? And Brian Griese, as an analyst, got in a little bit of trouble because he said that Matt Nagy called plays that Nick Foles knew wouldn't protect him, wouldn't work. Do you remember that? Okay. The way it usually works is what happened with Brady and Romo, not what happened with Foles and Greasy. Usually, a quarterback tells another quarterback, hey, man, he keeps calling stuff that ain't going to work. Our line's not, doesn't protect enough. I'm not athletic enough. Our wide receivers aren't getting open well enough. The timing of it, he's running plays to just call plays, not plays that fit what I need, when I need it, how I need it, right? And usually Greasy changes that and says, here's what I think. It feels like, this is what a lot of guys say, it feels like Matt Nagy is calling plays that don't quite fit what Nick Foles needs, wants, or has to feel good about. That's what happened in the Buccaneers game. Brady has always been close to Romo. Don't believe me? How do you think Romo knew all the plays, what was going on in New England? I mean, do you think he just studied film after film after film and knew what play was called? No. He and Brady are clearly boys. Right? They're the exclusive. They're in whatever skull. You know that? Remember that movie Skulls? Ramos remembers it, right? Like the secret society of Yale, Skulls. What's it called? It's supposed to be at like the government level. That there's that Dan Brown movie about where everything's got the pyramid in it. You know, what is that? What is that called with the eye coming out? Illuminati, right? There's like a football Illuminati. That's what there is. There's a football Illuminati where everybody, those guys know each other. And Romo spent the entire game pointing out the flaws within Bruce Arians' offense. Brady's airmail and pass, like there is a play when Antonio Brown is lined up in the backfield and he's the hot route and he's supposed to get out wide. Instead, he's far too narrow, which Dan Orlovsky has pointed out, like, yeah, he's right. He's far too narrow, whatever. Romo pointed out. The point is that even if he was in the right spot, go-go gadget arms couldn't caught that football. It was thrown out of bounds, and he wasn't trying to throw it out of bounds. Romo wasn't wrong, but he was placing all of the blame on the offense of Bruce Arians, which, or the play calling of Byron Leftwich, which clearly means that Brady had gotten to him and that he probably agrees with him. And here's the smart way to do it instead of what Greasy did, which gets the quarterback in trouble and makes the head coach look bad. Take a listen to Tom Brady after the game saying all the right things.
No, it's just the external noise that when you're losing, you know, that's what you deal with. So, you know, I love playing for the guys that I play with, the coaches, the whole organization's been unbelievable. And I think we just got to go out and I certainly have to do a better job the last 4 weeks of the year. So appreciate it. Just have a good week.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, he's saying all the right things, but I'm going to warn you from doing this for a long time. What people say, that's what actually made Arians's comments about Brady so weird. Everybody says the right thing about their... We're going to get it a little bit later into the Rams because generally Sean McVay says the perfect thing. When it goes right, it's about the players. When it goes wrong, it's about the coaches. He lost a little bit of that yesterday, showing that he's truly frustrated. But there is no proof in anything from what a quarterback says when he says the exact right thing. Tom Brady is a terrific quarterback. Tom Brady's been doing this a long time. Tom knows that a full frontal assault of Bruce Arians in the media has no advantages to him. Doesn't fit him well. And he didn't throw terribly, right? He was 345 yards, 3 TDs, 2 interceptions, but there were some misses that were just bad. Just bad. And there's a disconnect there between play caller and quarterback. And there's a feeling that the offense isn't getting better. It's the same old against the better team. They got tons of talent. It's just the talent doesn't all fit together with how Brady wants to play or how the plays are, in fact, called. But what you heard yesterday from Tony Romo is that that's the FU right back at Bruce Arians. Oh, we want to use the media? Here's how you use the media smartly. Here's how I'll point out all of you. You want to talk about my flaws, getting confused at the line of scrimmage and not throwing the deep ball well? I'll point out all of your flaws, but I'll simply do it smartly by going through Tony Romo. Because normally Arians not going to watch the TV copy, right? They watch the All-22. They got all these other cameras. They don't need it. But I guarantee somebody's like, did you hear Romo said about you in the All-22? In the TV copy? Nah, I didn't hear it. What'd he say? Somebody, and it gets relayed to him. He's like, really? Then he'll cue it up and watch it himself. And Bruce Arians right now sitting there knowing that Tom Brady did the political thing. I don't have to say it. I can get somebody else to say everything I'm thinking and then have video to prove it. And then I'll say all the right things at the podium. Right? Love my teammates. Love my coaches. Smiling as he stabs you right in the back. That's what they do. The genius politician. That's what they do. You want to play games? We'll play games. You want to play football? Let's play football. And what usually happens in these types of relationships? Look, you're not going to live up to anyone's expectations, reasonable or otherwise. And then it ultimately ends in a bad relationship. Now, does Brady come back next year? Do the expectations go up? Do they level off? Do people think he's old? Do they start talking about him? What do you do with Arians? Do you bring him back? He's talking about retiring. It's a very confusing thing. I didn't think it would end in a Super Bowl and thought it would end as a guy who chased it and found out it wasn't all that happy on the other side, but it would end fine. Now I think it's going to end ugly. I just do. Don't believe me? I got Tony Romo's comments, which I believe came on some level from Brady and Brady's people to back that up.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
If you don't have a quarterback and you got to pick a quarterback and that quarterback, it just makes you look like a bad coach. That's really kind of what it comes down to. That no amount of play calling can change it. You look like a poorly coached team. And, you know, Matt Nagy urges the Bears to wake up and have some personal pride. Quote, "I know this. We better wake our tails up," Nagy said in a Monday Zoom call. "Every freaking coach and staff, every player better wake up, start understanding where we're at, and have some personal pride, have some freaking sense of urgency, know where we're at, have some pride into what we're playing for and why we do this, and find a way to go win as a team. This is my challenge to every single person in that building this week is that. Yesterday was flat out embarrassing. Our guys know it. I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it. We're going to step up in all coaches and players. We got 5 games left. For us, it's our personal challenge, where we're at, and how we're going to do this thing. But that performance yesterday is ridiculous and can't happen. Obviously, it starts with me." Matt Nagy. Look, his quarterback's not good enough. You know, it's the Jags with Bortles. It doesn't matter how many other, what happens with a great defense is at some point they go like, come on, man. You know, and I'm willing to be honest with you and say the first drive was great. Then they get down to the end zone and Trubisky threw 2 balls, which wide receivers should have caught. And congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. They broke up both passes after they were both secured. And I'd also be honest and say, like, look, Trubisky's a guy who struggled with self-confidence. And he's a guy who, when you struggle with self-confidence and somebody says, and you got off to a great start, you score a touchdown, you're probably going to play better. Where instead, he plays perfect football, throws 2 absolute strikes in the end zone. They both end up on the turf. And they get a field goal. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're down. It was 6-3 because the Packers missed their first extra point. And then you're down 2 touchdowns. And this is where all of a sudden, you know, he loses his confidence. He gets out of sorts. He can't read a defense. He throws into double coverage. The next drive, they're driving well. And then they just got the play calling just got, he shouldn't have thrown the football into double coverage, but it felt they were doing a great job of being conservative, dink, dunk, nickel and diming you. And then, hey, let's take a big shot. Why? What's the point of that? Terrible. But you do that because you know, I ain't got that good a quarterback. We got to just, let's try and steal an explosive play. Read something. I mean, he threw 1 in a double coverage interception, 1 in a triple coverage interception. That's just, it's over. So look, it's over for Trubisky, and it probably means it's over for Nagy. Because when the guys stop competing for you, even when it's not your fault, then there's no bringing you back with a different quarterback. Like Anthony Lynn, it was pretty embarrassing what happened down at the end of that game. And it does feel like the Chargers will be at least partially in the market for a new coach. But they're still playing hard for him. The Bears have a great defense and they played hard for about a quarter. And they're like, forget this. Right? Like we literally have no chance. We've been busting our butts for 10 weeks. They've been trying to figure out the offense. They circle back around to Mitch and dude's throwing balls where nobody can catch them. And look, I'll be fair and say that we don't know which of those balls. I love Tony Dungy. He is an absolute mensch of a man. And he was, for the most part, not hypercritical of most anything. That was not as good a watch as it could have been had I think they put Sims in there. Yeah, because they don't have Collinsworth, because Collinsworth was set to do, I think he was set to do Baltimore and Pittsburgh. When that got delayed, he was going to do that on Thursday. Now he's going to do it on Tuesday. On Sunday, he's going to do it on Tuesday. But we didn't get the wide receiver actually ran the wrong route here, what the actual problem was. But it's pretty obvious that it's over there, and it's probably over for Nagy because the guys have stopped. The defense, his beloved defense, isn't playing nearly as hard as consistently because I think even they've had it. Like, we got no offense. We got no shot. And it just shows you miss on that position. It's one of those things you got to be careful about drafting that position. You miss on that position, you always play that position. And if the guy can't play, you put a ball cap on him and he stands over there in the sidelines. Right? Whereas if you miss on a left tackle, the guy can become a right tackle or a guard. You can still find some use for him. And it's not as big of a sore thumb, if you will.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
He is the head coach of Lipscomb Academy. I think they play for a state championship this weekend, or maybe no, it's next weekend, right? They had the Thanksgiving week off, so they play next weekend. They play for a state championship in the state of Tennessee. He, of course, is a Super Bowl champion, Fresno State Bulldog, former top five pick in the NFL draft. He's the one and only Trent Dilfer. Trent, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was awesome, Doug. How was yours?
Good. It's really good. Didn't overcook the bird. That was the big thing. Usually that's a problem in any house I've ever been in. And we had a Omaha Steaks gave us a meat thermometer, and it worked to a charm. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. Cook it slow and use the meat thermometer, baby.
There you go. There you go. Okay, let's get to the Brady thing. Now, here's what I shared, and you can hop in wherever you see fit. So just so you know, when Trent took on, when you entered media, and you tell me if I'm wrong, what you saw was a need for somebody who had played the position, knew the position, studied the position of quarterback, and could communicate to the average Joe what is special about the greats, what they do right, what they do wrong, right? That's when you got into it. So you can speak to this way more than I can. I watched Brady struggle some yesterday. It wasn't terrible, but there were some misses that you just don't see from him. I listened to Romo, and I figure that Brady, most likely, they're tight. There's some Illuminati for quarterbacks, which I don't know, because you won a Super Bowl if you're part of it, right? Maybe it's the guys he shakes hands with. I don't know. But those guys seem to communicate with each other, and he was relaying to everybody in America that this offense is not the right offense and not the right play calls for Tom Brady. Is that a fair possibility of how and why it went down?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, if not likely.
So
I think I'll build on it. I think, okay, so when you say the offense, there's not an offense on the planet that Tom Brady can't run.
Right.
And run to with excellence. But play calling is paramount for any quarterback. The simpatico relationship between play caller and quarterback is without a doubt the most important aspect of getting the most out of your quarterback. You can have crappy play calling, the quarterback can manage through it and find his way through it for a game, two, three. But to get great play from your quarterback, him and the play caller have to be on the same page. What is happening here is this is why when we were asked all these questions when Brady signed with Tampa, what's the fit going to be like? And the term I use, because I didn't want to, I like Bruce and I like Byron and Tom and I have been friends forever. I didn't want to be controversial because I'm not in the media all the time now. I said interesting. Now, my gut was that it was going to be a disaster because Byron and Bruce, the reason they're connected at the hip is because they both live by the machete. Okay, so both of them, their entire careers are big play, chunk play, take the machete out and chop the opponent's head off with it. That's just how they believe offensive football should be played. Tom Brady uses surgical tools and kills you by 1,000 cuts. And that's his DNA. And I'm like, there's no way a machete and a scalpel work together.
Right.
Like
the machete
don't.
And scalpel are perfect. Those are great analogies. I love that.
Yeah, they don't. Like, one has been the greatest of all time because he takes out a scalpel and he cuts you a bunch of times. You don't even know you're bleeding until you look down and you go, oh my gosh, my shoes are in a puddle of blood. That's what he's done to defenses his whole career. And they have these guys calling the game that are like, oh, they're just looking. All they're looking at is safeties, and all Tom Brady's looking at is linebackers. Think of it that simple. Tom Brady's looking at linebackers, cloud corners. How do I dissect them? How do I frustrate them? How do I spin them like tops? We'll go 9 plays, 72 yards, and 4.5 minutes, and finish with a touchdown. The defense will think they're winning. And Bruce and Byron are like, okay, what are the safeties doing? Oh, he's too tight. Oh, that corner's aggressive. Let's double move them. Let's run seams. Let's run double post combinations. That's how they've always called the passing game. I remember when Carson Palmer first got with Bruce Arians, called me and said, holy crud, this guy wants to take a shot on every single play. Every single play has a vertical aspect to it. He'd be a great guest to get on, by the way. If you can find him in his hideout now.
We've had him on. He's amazing. He fly fishes every day in Idaho.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he could tell you this because he was mind-blown on Bruce's offense. And what you're seeing is the play calling. Tom's like, wait a second, I just hit a chunk play. Why are you coming up with another one? And you can almost see the frustration in his eyes. Like, where's the option route? Where's the swing to the back? Where's the shallow cross? And instead, it's every play is like, holy smokes, you got Evans going vertical. I got Brown going vertical. Like, why can't I just run a crossing route to the tight end and let him run for 14 yards after I hit him with a perfect pass? And that's what you're seeing. Now, at times when they're running the ball well, those vertical shots are there. And Tom's been successful with them. I don't mean the bombs. I mean more the piercing 15 to 25-yard throws. But really, to get the most out of Tom Brady, you kind of have to cave to his way of playing football and call the game around him. And by the way, he'll probably get you to the Super Bowl if you do that.
But is it stubbornness? Why won't Tampa evolve? Why won't they meet him in the middle? Why won't they change some of those play calls?
Okay, so I'll give you a personal experience. It's very hard to look at the game differently than you've grown up looking at it.
Sure.
So I kind of look at the game like Tom looks at the game. I've just believed that death by a thousand cuts is the best way to call a game. I happen to have a big-time quarterback right here in high school, and he is a really gifted vertical passer. So I've had to change around him. So I've had to now look as I'm 48 years old. I've been around football my whole life, and I'm learning a new way of looking at it because of a 17-year-old kid. But it's the right thing to do to get the most out of my kid. And last week, before the end of half in the state semis, I threw a 52-yard bomb in the end of the half, and he dimed it in there for the touchdown for soft coverage. But he fit it into a small place because that's what he does well. And that's what Bruce and Byron have to do. They have to start looking at the game through Tom's lens. Can they do it? Yeah, I think Tom has a way of making you do those things. I go back to the famous game when I said the Patriots were done against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it was much like this Romo situation. Tom had told me some stuff before the game. They were doing different things offensively, and it was not fitting. And Tom was able to get Josh through the course of the year to get them back to doing what they do best. And I fully believe that that's what's going to happen here in Tampa, that Tom will get them his way more than he'll go their way.
I know Aaron Rodgers was amazing, and I don't want to take anything away from it, but the juxtaposition of watching Aaron Rodgers play the same position as Mitchell Trubisky last night was
fascinating.
Yes. Same position, different solar, same league, different solar system. I do think that the two drops in the end zone on the first drive affected Trubisky, right? A guy just searching for confidence, and they end up with a field goal. Then they're down, you know, they're basically down two touchdowns before he gets the ball back a second time. But there's just, you know, it felt like the team kind of threw up their hands and was like, this ain't it. And they kind of quit on the quarterback and quit on the coach last night. Am I overselling what I saw?
Nope. I know, and I hardly ever use the Q word in the NFL. But yeah, you definitely saw a team that's just disheartened with the quarterback play, disheartened with just the whole vibe around Trubisky. Remember, he's a young kid that left a year sooner than he should have, got overdrafted, hadn't played a lot of college snaps, so hadn't been the quarterback. And this is always a big conversation. Being the quarterback is more than playing the position. Being the quarterback is leading a team meeting. Being the quarterback is facing adversity. Being the quarterback has layers upon layers on it. And he just wasn't the quarterback very much in college. So he goes to the NFL, and he doesn't have those pelts on the wall of being the quarterback. And an NFL locker room will see right through that. So I think a lot of that is what's going on there, stuff we don't see Monday through Saturday. And then he's just not as talented as everybody said he would be. Now, he's a gifted athlete, and he could develop into a good player if he was given time. But you're seeing a lot of his flaws exposed and magnified is the word I'm looking for, magnified because of the situation he's in. It's just a bad deal all the way around. I really think the coach is a good person. I think he's a good coach. I think they, him and the GM just went too far in on this kid and then tried to save it with the Foles thing, and everybody knew that wasn't going to work. And that thing just needs to be rebooted.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to agree. Where does Matt Stafford finish his career in Detroit?
No, I think he goes somewhere else. I mean, I think they cut bait. I do think he's still talented enough and really respected, by the way. That's the thing. But, you know, there's, you talked about the Illuminati quarterback thing. Like, that's kind of true. And, you know, you also know which guys are really respected around the league. And Matthew's one of those guys. So he'll find another landing spot. But I think everything has to just be blown up in Detroit.
Yeah, tend to agree with you. You didn't have any eligibility to play for Denver. What must that have been like for Hinton to come up to a game with no reps and try and play against the NFL defense?
I can't imagine it. My mind was blown by that whole thing. I mean, I can't. It's hard enough when you get every rep. It's hard enough for us average guys to, you know, get ready to play our best football against a really good opponent week in and week out, to not take any reps, not even be a quarterback on the roster, just getting the snap operation. The whole thing was mind-boggling. I really thought what threw me off was they came out with Lindsey as kind of the wildcat.
Uh-huh.
They should have just played that whole game in the wildcat and just said, we're going to run it 50 times. I mean, you know you're going to lose, right? There's no way you're going to beat the Saints. Why not just try to shorten the game, play the wildcat, get some good rushing attempts, not even play a quarterback in the game? That's what I would have done. But that was it. I couldn't believe that thing actually happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't bring anybody in. You know, they had to be quarantined for 6 days. You, like, physically can't.
Yeah.
They had literally no other options. It's like the opposite of youth football. Does anybody want to play quarterback? Everybody takes a step back instead of takes a step forward like they do when they're little kids. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Trent Dilfer. Trent, I got a bunch of other quick ones. What do the Niners do to take apart the Rams, and specifically to Jared Goff, who really, really struggled? The Niners clearly have the Rams' number.
Short answer is they've read their mail before it was opened. They just know what the Rams are going to do. The Rams use so much Mike Shanahan, not even Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan stuff that throws people off. The 49ers are like, we see this every day in practice. Like, we hear about this in training camp. There's nothing you're doing that we don't know the answers to the test before you give us the test. It's just a really bad matchup for the Rams.
Terrible. Which is interesting because the Rams dismantled Seattle with their defensive line, dismantled the Buccaneers with their defensive line. Like, and really, there was a time there in the third quarter where, I mean, Nick Mullins is not good, and it looked like Aaron Donald had done it again, but they couldn't capitalize on those on suddenly having momentum.
Yeah, it's again, you said short answer. You know me, I can go on and on and on. The quickest way of saying it is that when you're game planning for a team at any level, there's certain weeks you're like, oh gosh, we got this. Like, we know them better than they know themselves. And that's how the 49ers feel about the Rams.
Great stuff, man. Best of luck this week. Don't come home without a state championship. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
It's Trent Dilfer joining us, head coach of Lipscomb Academy, an amazing, amazing high school football program.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Sean McVay, one, is brilliant, but two, he's a dude's dude. Like, yeah, I'd be like, man, this guy is amazing. He's awesome. I'm not sure if you've seen how he rolls at home, Sean McVay, but does well for himself. It's not just because he's coach of the Rams in LA, right? So in order to have that sort of pull, he's not the biggest dude in the world. He's got a magnetic personality. Tom Brady, one of the things that you've seen in Tom versus Time, or even, do you guys watch Peyton Manning's Peyton Place? When he's with Peyton Manning, like, that is awesome, their interaction. Totally different than the people that they are. Heck, Bill Belichick's the perfect example of this. Bill Belichick would not be as beloved by his players if, Yeah, where I'm Cincinnati. That's how he handled things. It's not. It's not. So you're one person at the podium. You're another person in real life. Jordan Rodriguez, who covers the LA Rams for the Athletic, said Sean McVay was extremely blunt tonight. Our quarterback has got to take better care of the football. McVay was asked specifically about commonalities in the turnovers after first remarking that we have to take better care of the ball. If you've ever listened to a Sean McVay press conference after the game, I want you to listen really quickly.
Each play, like I've talked about, is its own individual situation, but might be keeping two hands on the ball, might be understanding that if somebody's swarming around you, you can't just throw it away when you don't see where you're going, being able to trust your guys to be able to separate. But overall, you know, anytime that you turn it over as many times as we did and he did, it's just got to be better. And he's capable of it, but we've got to be able to get it done.
Capable of it, but we've got to be able to get it done. Jared Goff lost the season, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 3 fumbles, 59% completion percentage. McVay, no one is more accountable for his team losing at the podium. Maybe not behind the scenes, but at the podium. No, I've never seen a coach be like, we got to coach him better. We got to do better. He does, never throws the players under the bus. And he didn't fully throw Jared on. He didn't say, we lost because our quarterback turned the damn ball over. And he didn't actually talk about Jared making better plays, which he also needs to make, right? No, he just talked about turning the football over, but it clearly is a frustration that caused him to go way out of character. That is not in character for who Sean McVay has ever purported himself to being. So interesting. He's clearly miffed. He's ticked. And you start to wonder, like, can we went to a Super Bowl with Goff. Can we go back to another Super Bowl with Goff? Because a lot of our pieces say Super Bowl. He feels like they're ready to win. The kid out of Florida State they drafted at running back, I mean, he runs so hard. Yeah. Like Cam Akers' last 3 games or so, Robin, she's been watching the whole year, right? It's like a different player, like all of a sudden figured it out.
He had a very long run. I think one of the longest runs under McVay's, even with Gurley there.
Yeah.
He had like a 60-yard run. He just went right through the defense. So, yeah, he's very good.
He's terrific. He's terrific. I know they're not banged up, right? Tyler Higbee's really banged up. He looked compromised yesterday. And I don't really understand, and maybe I should ask Dill for this one, but I don't understand. Deebo Samuel had like 11 catches, including the catch that became kind of the game winner. Why didn't they have Jalen Ramsey covering Deebo Samuel? Because that's become Jalen Ramsey's thing. Is like everybody else does their own thing. Jalen Ramsey's like, you just cover the best guy. And they didn't have him covering, there's no George Kittle. They didn't have him covering Deebo Samuel. And Deebo Samuel kept getting the football. He's like, I don't know. Just a thought. Why don't we put the guy who's the best cover corner on our team, one of the best in the league, on their best wide receiver who's killing us? So it's not that they're not without blame as a coaching staff and that there weren't other curious things. But for McVay to say something like that, you know he's ticked. You know he's ticked. And in the losses, it's pretty evident that Goff keeps turning the football over. I think he's second in the NFL overall in overall turnovers. Fifth? Or are you raising your hand, Ramos?
I raised my hand because I brought this up with Dan and Ryan. You know, they talked about Goff's hands. Remember when they drafted him?
Yeah, small hands.
That was one of the things he had, small hands, and that he was prone to fumble. And not that I didn't believe it, but I'm like, well, you know, he's a quarterback. And it was one of the most accurate things that they could have ever said about Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
He literally drops the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen a ball come out of someone's hands more than Jared Goff. It's unbelievable. So I don't know what to do about that. His hands aren't going to grow anymore. I can tell you that right now.
Maybe wear gloves. You know, some of those quarterbacks do wear 2 gloves. And Teddy Bridgewater, small hands, he wears, I think, 1 glove, maybe 2. Some of those guys wear gloves.